We're beginning this morning to learn the most famous sefer of the Eish Kodesh, of the Piyazetzna, the Chavis HaTalmidim, Student's Obligation, which was published during the Rebbe's lifetime. And if you have the introduction, it's definitely kedai to read and to get an idea of the history of the sefer. It's certainly one of the more important parts, if not the most important part, of our Chanukah Sabayis, of our moving into the new Bes Medrash and Mitzvah Shem for Shabbos. This series is going to be taped as the other Svarim that we've been learning from the Rebbe have been taped. Is going to be dedicated as part of the Lev Elchanan series. That's by Eliezer Mordechai and Miriam Herrenstein, in memory of Miriam's grandfather, Elchanan ben Peretz. And the history of this person, Eliezer Mordechai gave me something yesterday. The history of this person, Elchanan ben Peretz, his life story, is also one that is very much connected to the Eish Kodesh, although not personally. But he was born in Warsaw and left Warsaw as a young man to go to Eretz Yisrael. And that's something that the Eish Kodesh, that the Reb Kalman Miskalman, have dreamed of. He was passionately in love with Eretz Yisrael and wanted to go. His brother, the Admor HaChalutz, actually did go. So this Elchanan ben Peretz, Miriam's grandfather, went, and he was married there in Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael in those days was unbelievably difficult just to survive. They went back one time to Poland before the war to try to convince the family to come to America, but it didn't work. At that point, they had to move to America. And they were there for many years, in the 40s and the 50s, and when it was so hard to keep Shabbos and mitzvahs, and eventually they returned to Eretz Yisrael and spent the last 20 years in Eretz Yisrael, leaving the entire family, parents and brothers and sisters, everybody was killed in Europe. And therefore it certainly is it's very important to know that the series is being dedicated by the Herrensteins, who are wonderful chaverim of ours, and who are devoted to what the Eish Kodesh taught and what he means, and we're certainly very appreciative. And if other Jews are able to learn more about the teachings, more about the Torahs of the Piyazetzna, and to be uplifted and inspired, because we know that his message and his teachings are so unbelievably contemporary, and they're talking to each and every one of us, Amish now. So then, the schus of the Mechaber, may it be that the merit of the Mechaber protect Eliezer Mordechai, Miriam, and their family, that they should see Mitzvah Shem a lot of nachas, and good health, and brach and hatzlocha. Let's remind ourselves of the Tzava HaKadosha, of the Last Will and Testament, which is the Sharblat, which is actually right after the Sharblat, the introductory page. Before the Sefer begins, you just turn after the first page, and it says Tzava HaKadosha. Those who don't have the Sefer, so either you can get it yourself, which is very easy to get. Just get the one with the Nakudas. It's much easier to read with the dots. Or if you tell me, I'd be glad to get you. Or we could ask Jeff to pick up a couple of copies. He's across the street. This Tzava HaKadosha, which we've seen before, but it's very important that we review and remember when we start a new Sefer. HaTzava HaKadosha, the Holy Will and Testament, Shal Kvay Kedushas Admor HaGoyin HaKadosh Rab Klonimus Kalma Shapiro Piyazetzna Hashem Yim Kerem Domba, may Hashem take revenge for his murder. Benaravat Sadik, Rabbi Ali Malach Megushinsk. And as part of that Tzavah that was written, as you see in Parshas Va'era, the 26th day of Tevis in the year Tavshin Gimel 1943, that was a very dark time in our history. To'ilu l'shtadl l'chalkim b'yakev l'afitzim b'yisrael. He asked anybody who would serve, anybody who would survive. He asked to please, to try to publish and to try to see to it that his teachings would be spread among the Jewish people. That the Rebbe said, please print in each of my svarim that I am asking, I am begging of each Jew that he should learn my svarim. And if he does, then certainly schus avayis hakadosha, and certainly the merit of my holy ancestors amongst them, Harebi Lamalach Milizhensk and Hamagi Mikoznitz, that may the merit of my holy ancestors yamud loy ulachal beiso, that the schus of my holy ancestors will help and protect this person and his entire household b'ze ubava in this world and the world to come. B'Hashem yirachem aleinu, and may Hashem have mercy upon us. Yoser la'ucha lichtov, I can't write anymore. V'Hashem yirachem v'chayenu im sheiris Yisrael, may Hashem have compassion and give us life for the rest of the Jewish people. V'ezke gamani l'shtadl b'hatfasosam, that I should be zeichet to also be able to publish these writings. Divrei oyhavchem achichem v'yachem, these are the words of the one who loves you, who is your brother and your friend. Hamisgage aleichem, who misses you. Hanishbar v'hanirtzatz, who's broken and shattered. Mitzarosai, from my own personal tzaros. Humitzaros Yisrael, from the tzaros of the Jewish people. Ha'amukim ad tohaim rabba, that descend to the deepest depths. U'gevohim ad shmei shamayim, and ascend to the highest heights. V'hametzapel Yeshuas Hashem k'harfayin, and who is waiting for the salvation of Hashem, like the wink of an eye. So we learn the Svarm, and particularly this Sefer, which was so dear to him, and even during his lifetime had become so famous, and caused such a stir. At that time, among the Jews of Poland, that there could be such a thing that a tzaddik of that caliber, a genius of that caliber, would actually write a Sefer just because of his love and concern for students. Certainly, if the Rebbe promised that he would help in this world and the next world to all those who are involved in publishing his svarim and learning his svarim, then certainly it's an unbelievable schus for us. It's a tremendous, tremendous schus for us to be able, after all these years, since the Rebbe was nifter, since the Rebbe was killed, to be able to learn the Sefer together, and to be mishtatav also, if we can. I mentioned this last week in the publishing of a new translation of the Rebbe's Sefer, the Chavos HaTalmidim. For those who are interested, I mentioned this last week. It's very chashuv if we can get to work on it. They need some money to get started, if it's possible, so that there could be an easy English translation on the same page, on the opposite page of the Hebrew, so that more and more people who are thirsting for the Rebbe's Torahs, there are thousands of people who are thirsting for the Rebbe's Torahs. It's amazing. But really, people are so thirsty for what the Rebbe was talking about, and his teachings apply more now than ever before. So if our Beis Medrash, if Eish Kodesh could be helpful in spreading the Rebbe's Torahs beyond the walls of our own Beis Medrash, then that I see that as something which is part of our mission, of what which we need to accomplish, and Bez Hashem will be able to accomplish. Now let's begin on page Zayin, which is the beginning. There is an English translation I'm sure many of you have, and it's certainly a very good one, but it needs to be simplified, and it was written in more of an academic style as opposed to the Hartziger style, which the Rebbe spoke and how he taught. And that's the way we try to explain, to translate here. But it's always kedai to look into the English afterwards. I never look at the English when I do this. So it's just that to try to learn it together from the beginning in the way that the Rebbe wrote it. This is how he wrote it, and this is how we're learning it. Now, it's called Chavis HaTalmidim, a student's obligation, because it was written primarily for Chassidish HaBachrim in Poland between World War I and World War II. It was written for Chassidish HaBachrim. The point was guiding them in the ways, in the beginning of Chassidus, how to enter upon the path of the Baal Shem Tov. Therefore, for us, there's a tremendous advantage. It's more understandable than many of his other Sfarim that are written in a much more difficult style, as we saw, particularly in Sava Zeruz, that the style of the Hebrew is extremely difficult, generally, extremely difficult. Here, the language is intentionally easier, even though you were able to see that the Rebbe was mamish poetic, and he could be as difficult to understand, let's say, next to Rav Kook, one of the most difficult in modern times. But the Rebbe intentionally wrote this as a sefer that young people would be able to understand. Now, in our days, we're shocked when we see what 14, 15-year-old Bochum are learning. And it's a little bit humbling, if not very humbling, because it'll be plenty difficult for us to learn. The concepts are simplified but unbelievably profound. And much of the things that we've been talking about over the last few years in the Rebbe's teachings, here we have the beginning of the ideas and the presentation in a way that is extremely practical. This is a sefer that is more and more being seen as the sefer of these times, and is being learned in more and more places by different types of Jews from all backgrounds. You'll see that its contents are mamish revolutionary. Even now, it's so sad that this is not the required method of teaching Jewish boys and girls and teaching ourselves. So even though it was written for Bachrim, it certainly speaks to us. Every single page, every single word is speaking to us. And it will help us, therefore, with our mitzvah, with our families, with our children, with God's help, and with ourselves. And it could be shared with mishpacha, and should be shared with mishpacha, if possible, to be learned with the mishpacha together on some level, to be discussed. Because every single thing here is mamish and eish kodesh, is a holy fire. Shlomo HaMelech, this first section, which is an introduction, is called Siach Im HaMelamdim V'Avais HaBonim. This, the Rebbe says, this is a little chapter where he wants to have a discussion with the Melamdim, with the Rebbeim, with the Rebbe's V'Avais HaBonim, and the boy's parents. And remember that the Rebbe was very strict, and I take it very, very literally, that one is not to learn Hachsharas Avreichim, which in the Sefer, which with the Tzav Aziz was in the back there, that's not part of the Hachsharas Avreichim, but there's a big taiva to learn Hachsharas Avreichim. The ideas there are more profound, and there's a great deal of chassidus and Kabbalah that in the Hachsharas Avreichim. The Rebbe warned that one is not to learn Hachsharas Avreichim until he's gone through Chavis HaTalmidim, preferably a few times. So we have to go in that order, in that Seder, that we learn first Chavis HaTalmidim, which will take us in Mitzvah a few years, and maybe 2 years, I hope, and so we should be able to be prepared to learn Hachshavas Avreichem. I'm sure that'll be in Yerushalayim, in our new Beis Medrash in Yerushalayim. We're not giving it up after all this. We're not giving that up. Shlomo HaMelech Omar B'Mishlei. Shlomo HaMelech said in Mishlei, in Proverbs, Chanoich lanar al pi darko, educate the child according to his own path, his own way. And gam ki yaskin leyoser mimena. And if you do that, then even when he's old, even in his old age, the teachings will not depart from him, will not go away. Zehu ikar hachinach. This is the essence of Jewish education, of chinach. The point of teaching, of educating, is not that it should be only for when the child is a child. V'yad aviv oida tkefa alav yishmalai v'yasik mitzvayisav. It's not only for the time that his parents have control over him, and therefore he is forced to observe the mitzvahs. He has no choice when he's in the home. Ela gam kisheyigdal v'hu b'rishusa. True education is so that what gam kiyaskin, even when he's left his parents' home and he's on his own, and he's lives in his own rishus, in his own domain, he's his own boss. Av kiyaskin liyosim yemen, that the teachings of his youth should never leave him. And it doesn't mean just to remember that Gemara or to remember that Pasuk Chumash Rashi. It means all of the ruach and all of the commitment that he had as a child when he was innocent, that he should be able to take that with him throughout his entire life. Because education is not only a commandment. Shemitzaves b'no, to command one's son, a talmido, or one's student. Asei kach v'kach. You must do this, or you must do that. That's not all that chinuch is. You have to do this, you have to do that. You have to put on film, you have to put on tzitzis, you have to daven, you have to learn. So many of the boys, that's all they are hearing, that's all that they remember. Is that there was one thing that I remember in my chinuch, both at home and in the yeshiva. You must. You have to do this, you have to do that. And that's all they remember, and that's a bitter pill to swallow for many of the boys and girls. But the boys is usually more of a bitter pill. So he says, that's not all that chinuch is. Gamlo hergel b'levadu, and it's not only a custom, it's not only that the child should be accustomed to a certain way of life, it's more than that. Shemargilo lasas masam toivim, that you've gotten him into the habit of doing good things. That's good. That's more than that. Yoser godel v'yoser poloman hatzivui min hergel hu achinuch. Much more powerful and much more effective than just commanding or just habit. Hu achinuch is chinuch. Ushnei eila hatzivui v'hergel, these two, commanding a child to do something and what? Getting him into the habit of behaving a certain way. Rak klei tashmisho heim. These are only tools in the hands of a true mechanech, of a true educator. This is not what it means to educate, that the child is told to do something and the child is imitating and impersonating as he grows up. That is used in a positive way, in a good way, in the hands of a parent, in the hands of a mechanech, of a teacher. But that's not what chinuch is. Kedei lechanchei b'derech Hashem. Now the Rebbe explains, he defines what is chinuch. And we spoke about this some months ago, once on a Shabbos morning. What is chinuch? What does it mean? It's one of those words we take for granted because you hear it all the time. I'm worried about the chinuch of my children, where I'm going to go, I have to move someplace where it will be good for my children's chinuch, this is not good for my children's chinuch, and so on. What does it mean, chinuch? Kimashmolos hamila chinuch, and by the way, you'll see that it's very much connected. It's unbelievable how it's connected to what our Beis Medrash is going through Bez Hashem this time, which is the Chanukah's Beis HaKnesses, the Chanukah's Beis HaMedrash. Of course, that Chanukah and Chanukah's Beis HaMedrash is from the word chinuch. So this is the beginning of the Chanukah's Beis HaKnesses right now. Kimashmo samila chinuch mefarsh berashi ala posik bona bayis v'loi chanochal. So the Torah is telling us, of course, about those who are exempt from going out to war, those who returned from the battlefield, somebody who built a house but he was not yet mechanech the house. It's not talking about kids. What does it mean? Bona bayis v'loi chanochal. Chinuch, Rashi says, is a lashon haschol. Chinuch is a lashon of haschola, of beginning. Rashi defines chinuch as haschola, of beginning. Uposhut shelo al kol haschola ki omer l'shoin chinuch. But it's poshut, it's obvious that we don't use the word chinuch for all beginnings. The word chinuch does not describe every beginning. Right? You wouldn't say, the Rebbe says, k'may b'maschil b'gnusim b'sayim b'shevach in the Haggadah. So the Gemara says in Pesachim that we begin with the negative, or we begin with the darker part of our history, Terach, the father of Avram, just a few weeks away, Pesach. We begin with Gnus, and we end with the good stuff. We end with Atta Kerano Mokum Lavadoso, with Hashem taking us out of Mitzrayim, and so on. So he says, the Rebbe says, Hamuska Batal Bekesh L'Seder HaGodah B'Pesach, which is talking about the Seder of Pesach. Layomu Mechanech Begnus, it doesn't say Mechanech Begnus, it doesn't say instead of Maschil. There's a difference between Lahaschil, to begin, and Lechanech, which is also a Lashon of Haschol, but it's different. It's different. You don't say this is the, you know, the, you want to say this is the beginning of the ball game. This is the Chanukas Hamischak, the beginning. That doesn't mean that. And you know, if you said that, it would be crazy. Also, the order of how the Sanhedrin would begin to discuss. It says Maschilin, begin. Leyamu Mechanchin Menatzad. It doesn't say the Lashon of Chinuch Menatzad from the side. Al Parshas Lech Lecha. So let's find out, when is this word to be used appropriately? So then, of course, everybody here knows the rule. Reb Tzadok talks about this all the time, and it's found in all the Svarim, that if you want to know the inner essence of a word, you have to go back and find the first place that it's really used in Tanakh, right? And you go to the first place where it's found. Now, there was a person by the name of Chanoch, and that's connected to that as well. We're not going to talk about that right now. But the application of this term of chinuch, we find it first in Chumash and Parshas Lech Lecha. Mefarish Rashi Laniyosir v'zel l'shono chanichav. You remember that Avraham Avinu prepared for war if it would be necessary. Chanichav. Now, chanichav are the members of his household, right? Those who were in it, that were being brought up in his home. Rashi says, shechanocho lemitzvis. These were people who Avraham Avinu had been mechanech in the world of mitzvahs. V'hu lashayn hascholas knisas ha'odam. Now Rashi defines it. It means the beginning of the entering of an individual, o kli, or of a utensil, or of something that you're going to use. It's going to be used. L'umnis, to some art or craft. Shu'osad lamaitba. You are bringing the child or the individual, the person. It's the beginning of bringing him into his way of life that he's going to be living in the future. Or it's bringing something, an object, into its usage, which it's going to have in the future. V'chein chanoich lanar, and that is the meaning of what Shlomo HaMelech said, educate the child. Chanukas HaMizbeach, it's the meaning of the Chanukas HaMizbeach, of the altar in the Beis HaMikdash. And Chanukas HaBayis, Rashi says. Rashi brings these to me. Chanoich lanar, Chanukas HaMizbeach, Chanukas HaBayis. Of the Beis HaMikdash. Ad kan l'shoni. These are the words of Rashi. Avalav, let's continue. Avalav al ha'uman ha'maschil b'mlocha. The Rebbe explains that the craftsman who is beginning a malacha, who is beginning some work, who is beginning a job, layomer loshen chinuch al haschaloso, the word chinuch is not used when he begins that work, im kvar yochalhu as umanoso, if he already knows his craft. In other words, if he's already a great carpenter, a great plumber, or a great artist, or whatever, and he's just starting another project, we don't call that chinuch. That's not called chanukas ha'uman. That's not the beginning of his umnus. That's not the chinuch of his umnus. It's just that it's another a new painting, or it's another job. Gamal habayis k'shemaschilim l'vnoso, also with a house, when you begin to build a house. We don't call that chinuch habayis when you begin to build. Rak al misha balulmod atzmai umnus. We use the word chinuch when there's somebody who's coming to learn how to do this. Valtashim says bayish kvar nivna, or when we're going to use the house that has already been built. How to use it? How to live in it? You don't have the chanukah sabayis when you put the cornerstone. Then noifel aloshen chinuch. Bizedig loshen Rashi has cholas shu osid lamod, but that's what Rashi says. It's the beginning of entering into the world shu osid lamod ba. So it's when the person is learning the craft, which is going to carry him through life. When the artist is learning that malacha that is going to carry him through his life. When the person is actually entering into the home and that is going to carry him through the years. It's talking about the person. Not the malacha, not this painting, not this house. It's talking about the person who's now entering into the house and is going beginning his life in the house. It's talking about the person who's entering into this malacha, into this craft, into this profession, and who's going to use this profession. This is the beginning. So it's a din in the gavra, not in the cheftze, as they say in the yeshivas. It's the person, not the thing. On this preparation that is in potential within the person who's going to be the artist, who's going to be the carpenter, and the preparation of the house or of that appliance to be used in the future for this purpose or that purpose, no filoshen chinuch, that is the word chinuch. Teva la'atzma, he teves chinuch. It's a word that stands on its own. V'nemra al hotzos ha'chshora she'ba'odim ha'bekli min ha'koach la'po'al. Chinuch means the beginning of my efforts to carry out in reality that which I've been preparing. That's what it means. To carry out l'maisa, to bring into reality the beginning of my bringing into reality that which I've been preparing. So I've been building the house. I've been building the house. And now I'm beginning to carry it out. I've started studying the trade, and I'm going to begin to work towards practically being the artist and the carpenter and so on. Imlonotzia tishor behelem. It could be a person that has certain potential, or it could be an appliance that had this is an oven that could make thousands of dinners and make people happy with nice meals, but it hasn't been plugged in, it's not being used, and you have many Jews that could bring unbelievable nachas ruach to their families, to Hashem, but they haven't been plugged in, that it's not turned on. So that koach is behelem. That potential is hidden, remains potential. Utsrichim onalahitsia, the job of a parent, of a mechanech, and the job of a craftsman, is to be able to bring to the light, to draw out from within himself, and within the child, in the case of chinuch. Ulechanech asayish hazeh sheyeyos elabal malach azu. How do I take the latent, hidden artistic talents of this person and make him into an artist? How do I take the hidden spark of Hashem that's within a Jew and cause it to ignite, to be on fire, and to make him into a real Jew in his adult life, long after he's left yeshiva, long after he's left the home? The house and the appliance that it should be used in a productive way. That every room should be used. Every room should be used for the purpose that it was designated for. It shouldn't be sitting empty. It's prepared for that. And the appliance for its use, that it's prepared for. Ukshenemra teva zu al chinuch habanim. When this word chinuch is being used for educating the children, oz hakavon hi legadel ulefateach es tivo v'achsharosu shel hayeled. Then it means, how do I develop the nature of the child, of his or her own nature, of what the child is prepared in potential, the kind of person he or she can be, not the kind of person that you are or that you would like him to be or her be. That is the main mistake that we make. But how to bring out the potential of that particular child. And in one family, each child is different. And again, it's talking to us also. And I'm going to remind this. I'm going to remind you about that almost every page. That when the Rebbe is speaking here about children, he's speaking about the big babies. That's us. He's speaking about all of us, bringing out and developing.
So there's no building. It's there already.
So the Rebbe said the same thing about a building. The Chanukah Sabbais is not actually building it. it's using the building for what it was prepared. That's Chanukah Sabbais, right? It's not when you just put the cornerstone down. It's when you start to use the Bais. That's right. So the person, the child has within him, the individual has within him unbelievable things, unbelievable karchas. And now we're going to begin drawing out that potential into reality, and to use the kaiches, and to discover the kaiches, and to use the kaiches that are there. Just like with a house, to discover the uses of each room, and to use each room. Or with an appliance, to discover the different uses, and to use the actual, to use the lemaisa, to use the appliance. The gadol lefatech es tivav ha'achsharosu shel hayeled shenimtzabo b'mida ktana. It's found in an underdeveloped, tiny little way. Potential and hidden. And to reveal it. Just like when we learned B'nai Machshava Toiva last year and Savaziras, which we just finished, the main objective of the Rebbe in those teachings is how to reveal our neshamas to ourselves. Every single Torah there is about that. And the Rebbe says it in the Feirish, how to reveal ourselves to ourselves. So this is what chinuch means. The kevan sheisha Yisraeli, and since the Jewish person, od bialduso, even as a child, ruach Hashem, nishmas shakai, the spirit of Hashem, the soul of God, tmuna gnuzaba, is hidden and concealed within him. Tzrichim legadol lechanech haiso, our job as parents and as teachers, is to develop and to extract, to reveal, to teach the child, to begin the child on his path, lahotzia, how to draw out his neshama, his soul, that hidden soul, legalaisa, to reveal, lafricha, to cause it to blossom. Vahoyo liyehudi neman oyved es Hashem, that he should develop into a faithful Jew that serves God. Bisaroso me'atzmo yachpats, that he should desire to learn Torah on his own, from within himself, not just because you tell him to. Umidarko, and it should be his path. And therefore, gam ki yaskin leyosa, so even when he's old, it will remain with him, because it's his path. It's his own soul that you have revealed to him. Many mechanchim, many teachers, are trying to reveal their own souls to the child. And it usually, it sometimes can have an effect if the child eventually says, listen, you know, I appreciate that for what it was, and I'm going to try to find my own. Very often children are suffocated and destroyed by it, and the Rebbe can't understand, I'm such a fantastic teacher. And he's only trying to understand the child in light of his own neshama, and not to understand each student with what that particular child needs, and to address the neshama of that particular child, while at the same time covering material and so on and teaching. Those are the mechanchim that you remember your entire life. It could be somebody who was in second grade, it could be somebody who was in third grade, and you could forget 1,000 teachers in between, but you'll remember that teacher. You'll remember the teacher that wasn't giving you his neshama, but was revealing to you your own neshama, that teacher you'll always remember, because that's from within the depths of who you are. And you have a tremendous appreciation for someone who introduced you to yourself. As far as those teachers who were yelling and screaming to you about themselves, so sometimes there are good memories, sometimes there are bad memories. But it doesn't become part of you. They don't become part of you. Gam ki yaskin lo yos. V'ilo hametzave. When you have a parent or a teacher who is simply commanding the child to do this, to do the mitzvah, or to learn. Afilo hamargil. Or even if you just get your kid into the habit of doing it. Eina batuach. You can't be certain. That parent, that teacher can't be certain. Shabein ha-talmid ha-metzuva ha-misragel. That child that has been commanded, or that has been drilled, so that it's become a habit. You can't be certain that yasek mitzvah so gam keshi yigdal, that he's going to live that way even when he grows up. And I mentioned this before, Miss Medrash. My father told me how when they were taken away, when they were first left before concentration camp, and they were taken to first go to forced labor, how when he left, at that time, they were, as young men, they were still able to keep mitzvahs, and they were able to eat the food that at least their mothers had prepared for them to take on the trip. And my father said that when they left, he says, one of the most upsetting things that he remembers from that early time of the war was how it was when he watched friends of his, people that he grew up with in cheder and yeshiva, being out of town for a day, for two, for 3 days, away from their parents and cutting off their pays, throwing out their tzitzis, eating tarfus, even though they still had food in their knapsacks from home. Threw it away. My father said these were people that, you know, that went to them, that they went to the mikveh together, they went to cheder, they went to yeshiva. I guess the difference was that there were those who were brought into the habit, and those who were forced, and there's only so long that could last. In those days, when it was forced with such intensity, it was when they had the first opportunity to get rid of it. So they did. Many of them did. They had the first chance to get rid of it. Don't think that it has to do with this. Mostly it doesn't have to do with the theological problems that are posed by the Holocaust. Mostly it has to do with suffocating that began even before the Holocaust. And when the opportunity came, whether it be practical, emotional, psychological, or theological, not to do these things that my parents forced upon me, my teachers shoved down my throat, so then they took advantage of those opportunities. And they still are. There's still some of those survivors from those days who take advantage of that. Just like there are people now that they could be 40, 50 years old and they're not, and they once went to yeshiva, they came from Orthodox homes, and they still have a chip on the shoulder. And you say, okay, so say, no, my father, you know, he used to beat me up if I didn't learn, and he used to force me to keep Shabbos. So, you know, you want to say to these people, okay, that's a maaser from 40 years ago, won't you? No? Take a second look. But really, it's hard to say to people, because that memory of being told, and that memory of lifeless habit, and of rote, and of what seemed to be meaningless way of life at the time, that carries often through, that remains with the person, that taste remains with the person throughout his life. And it's very hard for a person in the middle of his life to be mechanich himself, to get a new chinuch, to begin again. You can do that with someone who never learned it at all. That person is open to new things, new ideas, but to someone who already feels that he's been through it, so to give him a new way, that's very, very hard. But that's what it means. This is what Shlomo HaMelech was commanding. This is what Shlomo HaMelech was telling us. Chanoch lanar, educate the child. Techancho el kirbo tachtor, penetrate to the depths of the child. Ve'ez kedushas ha-yisrael ha-shabo behelem. Tigala. And just like when it comes to the house or to an appliance, begin to draw out the potential from that house, begin to use it, the appliance. So from that child as well, there is tremendous potential. There's something there. Just like you have a house, you have an appliance. There's something there. Begin to draw out what's hidden in the child. Vrak oz. And if you do that, then gam ki yaske liyosim imana. Then even when the child grows old, it won't go away from him. It will stay with him. Shlomo HaMelech, page Tess. By the way, I should have mentioned when we started that the reason that no one was asked to pay for this is because one of the Chabura, as he usually does things, on the spot, paid for all the Svarim. And we have our Karsa Tov. But now you're on your own. Shlomo HaMelech, Lo es tachlis achinich bilvad haydiyanu. Shlomo HaMelech didn't only tell us about the tachlis of chinuch, the ultimate goal. Shetachlis lahavio el gam ki yaskin liyosim, to bring the person to a point, the child, so that even when he grows older, it will remain with him. Elagam es ha'oifan v'ha'emtsoi eich lovoi lov. But Shlomo HaMelech helped us out, and he taught us the way and the means of accomplishing, of achieving that. He didn't just leave us with a goal and say, do this. Shlomo HaMelech spoke to us about how to accomplish it. And he said it in those words, Be'er lanu ha'bemilim chanoch lanar al pi darko. Shezehi ha'ikr. That is the ikr. That is the main thing. Ki ha'metzava v'hamargil bilvad. Because if you're only commanding, or you're getting the person into a habit, you don't have to pay particular attention to the student, to the child. You could have, like they have in secular universities, you could have a big lecture hall. But now they have a new thing. You don't have to even sit in the lecture hall. My daughter was telling me that she has some of her classes where she has to, in graduate school, she never even will meet the teacher. It's the teacher is someplace else. And you go online. In our days, it was going to a classroom where whether you were there or not made very little difference to anybody, least of all to the professor who was lecturing. And it could be that you were in some study hall, you know, in some big room, and there's somebody standing down there at the bottom with a blackboard blabbering, and had no shaykhis to you, and wasn't speaking to you. Nowadays, I think there are schools, there are colleges that are conducted completely electronically. If I'm not mistaken, I mean, I heard about these things that Bechlad don't need to have any shaykhs to a teacher, and the teacher doesn't have to ever meet you, ever know, and probably would prefer in many cases not to have anything to do with you because there's so many weird people around. I don't blame them. In those places, I'm not talking about any yeshiva got to, but in those places. Nowadays, teachers in the public schools, they're lucky if they get home. So sakonis nefashis, to come with a bodyguard, so dangerous. That's better now since we had a normal mayor, but it's still not normal. The situation is crazy. So you could be in a house, and you have even in your own house, do you have the kids? And you've commanded them to live the right life, and you've given them these habits of holiness to live by. That doesn't mean you were ever mechanech them. You don't have to even know them. And you could spend, and then when the kid, God forbid, is going in a different direction, you could say, I don't understand. I drove him to the ball game. I was there for him all the time. I was there for her. What does that mean? You know, when a parent says, I was there for him and there for her, very often you discover that it meant, I was physically there. Which is true. No, I was physically there, but when the Rebbe and when Shlomo HaMelech said I was there for the child, it means there in the neshama for the child, not just in the same house. Most parents, I find, when they say I was there for the child, they mean just geographically, which is also a nice thing. You know, a kid needs a lift. I mean, it's good to give, you know, lifts. Or a kid needs a pair of pants, you go to the store, you buy a pair of pants. Wasn't I always there for you? But the child can't explain that to the parent. The child will usually say, yes, Daddy, you were always there for me. But inside he's thinking, what is he? Is he out of his mind? Where was he for me? He was in Sims. That's where he was for me. Or he was, you know, where was he?
Yeah,
Huh? Now you can shop online. You don't have to have a kesher even with Mo Ginsburg anymore. At least when I was a kid, there was the whole experience. My mom going at it with Mo Ginsburg, you know, with the family. I don't know, well, with the mishpacha. Yeah. Well, I'm talking about a long time ago. But that was always a chavaya. That was an experience of my mom. God bless her. What was going on over there? So that's forget that, right? What are you going to argue? What do the Jews do nowadays? Can you handle with a computer? It was part of the experience, right? You know, the Lower East Side, and then you know it was part of the experience. At least you thought you got one. That was the good salesman made you think that you got a good price. Lav davka, but you walked away thinking that you got a mitzvah. But afal pichein. The child is telling the father, yes, Dad, you're always here for me. Mom, you're really always here for me. But what does it mean? What does it mean that they were here? What does it mean here, there? What is that? So Rebbe says that's only al pidarko. Because the father or the parent who just commands or gets the kid into the habit, Einot tzarech liten leva la ben v'atalmid, he doesn't have to really focus on that child or on that student. Lada'as es tiva mesichlam, to really know the nature and the seichel of that child. He gets up and he says, do this, do that. That's like 99% of how education is taking place. Do this and do that. He doesn't have to have any specific, particular connection to that child to understand. Just do this and do that. V'daylo. And he feels he's done his job. But the Talmud b'fnei atzma, to deal with each child or each student on an individual basis. He doesn't feel that need. Therefore, yuchal hu l'tzavus l'harbei talmidim. B'nei gilecha, therefore, you gather together many students of the same age, or a similar age, you gather them together in one room to hear a shir, and tzivu yachad, and you could tell them all wholesale one thing. Asu kach v'kach. Do this and do that. And you're speaking to the olam. You speak to the whole olam. You say, do this or do that. Kilobet Talmud uba ben. Because it has nothing to do with the student or the child. That's why you could have online. It has nothing to do with the person who's hearing it. Rakbo bametzav elavad hadavet toldi. It depends completely on the one who's giving out the commands. It has nothing to do with seeing the one or talking or connecting to the one who's being commanded. It just has to do with issuing a command. And therefore, it might as well be posted on the wall, or it can be put on the internet. It's just being posted. It's not being addressed to anybody in particular. It's whoever's interested. Come listen. Hu yitzava v'zos kol pelosa. All there is a command, and that's the entire thing. It's just a commandment. You remember we spoke about this in shul. Parshas Yisro in the morning, talking about how when Hashem gave the Torah, how each one of the Aseret Dibros, a Malach went, Hashem sent the Malach, and the other version of the Medrash says that the words themselves went and kissed each and every Jew. When Hashem gave the Torah, it says, "Kol Hashem b'koach." Right? B'koach means b'koach kol echad v'echad. So when Hashem gave the Torah, this is the greatest miracle of Maimon Har Sinai, of the event of the revelation at Sinai. The greatest miracle was not all the special effects with the thunder and lightning, that was pretty good too. But it wasn't the special effects. The greatest miracle of Maimon Har Sinai, of the revelation of Har Sinai, was that every single man, woman, and child heard Hashem whisper into his or her own ear on his or her own level, "I am Hashem." And what that meant for one person was the deepest secrets of Kabbalah. What it meant for another person was the simplest thing, that I love you, I'm God, and I'm with you. Each person heard it. Al pi darko. That's how the Torah was first given to us, by the greatest mechanech, by Hashem himself. And it was given with the fire, because that's how you give over Torah. And it was given over with the lightning. It was given over in such a way, because that's the only way to give over Torah. With fire, and with thunder, and with lightning, with excitement. That's the only way to give it. Avla mechanech sherotz legalus es nishmas a talmid. But if there's a mechanech, if there's a parent who wants to reveal the soul of the student, of the child, atmuna vagnuzaba, that's hidden, that's concealed within the child. Legadla, to raise it, to nurture it, to lavira, and to cause it to become inflamed. Shetiva be'esh shalmala, that it shall burn with a supernal fire, lamarim v'kodesh, to the one above. V'kulo af kaychas gufa b'kedushi is gadlu. And here, it sounds like Rav Kook, here, he says that not only the child's neshama, but even physically, that the child should be developed properly. Can you imagine, this is for that time and that place to say such things is very unusual. That even his body should be developed in a powerful and a holy way. His gadlu, that it should develop in a good and healthy way. That he should have a longing for the Torah of Hashem. So in order to do that, the Rebbe says, you can't just command and habituate. You can't just force. You can't do that in a wholesale way just by lecturing to the kids. Mukhrachu laharkin es atzma. To do that, you have to lean down, the Rebbe says. You have to bend down. El atalmid. To the student, hameschanech al yado, who you're teaching. You have to bend down to him. Vilachter al teich katnuso in the michiuso. And you have to penetrate into his smallness, into his littleness, to understand what he's going through. Because a little child, that's why the greatest teachers are the ones who can teach the little kids, the first, second grade, that's unbelievable. Because the older ones can already explain a little bit, articulate, could talk a little bit about what they're thinking, can, you know, act out. But the little ones, they're just a mystery. And it takes a very, very great person to be able to lean and bend down to the little one and to be able to climb into the kid's neshama. Into all of his silliness and smallness, to see through it and to find the greatness that's within that child. Because all you see before you is just a crazy little kid, like a nutty kid. And this is one of the main things that the Rebbe is going to talk about. About how when you look at your child, when you talk to your child, you have to imagine that this is somebody who is going to be the Gadol HaDor, who has potential to be the leader of an entire generation, to be a tzaddik of all tzaddikim, to be a great tzaddikus. You have to try to imagine. I spoke a lot about that this past summer. The parenting tapes. Two summers ago, which was very much based upon the Rebbe's Torahs, those teachings. Till you could actually find and you could reach that spark of his soul, of the child's soul that's hidden, and lahitzia, and to draw it out, lahatzmicha, to cause it to grow, lagadla, to blossom. The cave and shekain, and because this is so, lo b'chol ha'na'arim shavu ha'chinuch. Chinuch is not the same. It's not the same for all children, or for all adults, for that matter. It's not the same. Toluhu b'chol nar v'nar kfi tivo daitim idoisev. It depends on each child and his nature, his intelligence, his midas. Va'isim al mechanech lahake. Therefore, the beginning is that the mechanech has to recognize. The mechanech has to understand, to recognize. What's this child's intellectual capacity? What are his midas? What's his nature? Kigam b'mischanech hadover toluy. Chinuch depends on the one you're educating. Lo b'daito v'koychais atzmo b'levad yishamish v'yifal. The parent is not only depending upon his own koychais, his own abilities of the teacher. Yitzav aviyor, that he's going to command and teach and instruct. Ragam bedas v'koyches atalmid yochis. He has to take hold of the mind and of the koyches of the student. Yishamish v'yifal. V'lo yimashi yitzav yechanech laze, yitzav yechanech latalmid acher. Therefore, once you understand that, you realize that what you command, what you give over, what you teach to one child is not the same that the other child can hear. Hashanim min abiteva, so different in nature. Rotsin amidus. V'zeh romaz lo nushlem ha-melech hanoch lana al pi darka. Teach the child, instruct the child according to his derech. Al pi darka shekol echad v'echad, according to the derech of each and every one. I always mention when I talk about this site, which, you know, by the way, since we're living in different times, it sounds like this is obvious, but this is very, very revolutionary in his days to even talk like this. Certainly among rabbis and in that world, it was very unusual. But I always mention in this context that one of the greatest mechanchim that I know that I've ever met is Rabbi Ferlo, who I was privileged to teach with for 21, 22 years. So a master mechanic, an unbelievable mechanic. And he had mamash with each and every student, a different relationship and a different mahalach with each student. And he had rules in the yeshiva. He still has rules in the yeshiva, in the school. And these are kids that come from non-religious backgrounds. He has rules, like every school has rules. And then there are individuals who, over the years, were flagrantly breaking the rules, and Rabbi Freilich would say nothing. And there were others who, if they deviated ever so slightly from a rule, he would pound over their head. And I remember that there was a rule that you're not allowed to have the hair, the boys can't have the hair growing down, you know, I guess past the neckline, whatever, down the neck. And there was, and he was very strict. And if you saw somebody, he would throw them out, get to the barber. You're walking around like a behemoth. And he's very clear. No, very clear. And then there was a kid in the school who walked, he had like a, you know, it was halfway down his back. He had like a ponytail. It didn't say anything to him. So I remember that I was once in the hall, and the kids have tremendous respect for him. And he said to a kid, whatever the kid's name is, he says, get to the barbershop. And he would always take out $5. Probably now it's more. But he'd take out a couple dollars and say, get yourself a haircut. Don't go back to class without a haircut. I don't like the way you look. So this kid, I was in the hall, and this kid said, but so-and-so, that other boy, he has a ponytail. And Rabbi Freilich's response was, shut up. He said, he has his parasha, and you have your parasha. Shut up and get a haircut. So he told him. And because the kids trusted him, that can need a little bit of an introduction, but the kids basically trusted him. And we have one of the chevra here who grew up in that school, and he knows that I'm not exaggerating. So since the kids trusted him, they were able to, even though they didn't know, why is that kid different than me? How come he can have a ponytail and I can't? And Nachum knows probably the kid I'm talking about who grew up to be a big Yirei Shammai. You know what I'm talking about, Nachum? I don't know if you know. I'll tell you later, you know, then you'll remember. He grew up to be a big Yirei Shammai. Thank God he's a big Yirei Shammai. But that is for what works for one kid. And he, in other words, this kid, he had this inyan that he had to hold on to that, because there the rabbi understood that somehow he sees his neshama tied into that hair. The other kid is just you know, imitating. But this one really believed in it, and therefore the rabbi was careful to give him that space. And he didn't care if you had tightness. He didn't care. And even as parents, you know, you could become so insecure because this kid's, how come daddy, mommy, how come you did for that, not for that? So really, if we were expert parents and the kids had confidence in us, we could say the same thing. Be quiet. That's his parasha, that's your parasha. What are you hacking me from him? You bring me a raya. What do you bring me raya from your sister, from your brother? They have different parashas than you have. But the reason that it's so hard for us to get away with that is because the kids are wondering, you know, my father's such a mechanach, I never noticed that about him. You know, it's like, all of a sudden, he has a different parasha. You see, you can't fool the kids, they're very smart. So he has to talk to the kid as a taina. All of a sudden, there's different treatment. He gets to go to the restaurant and I don't. Oh, look at this. All of a sudden, my father became a Pius Etzner. Everything else, he just herds us together like cattle. But now he goes to the restaurant. Now I'm eating leftovers. So it's taka, taina, no? It's a taina. The kid has a taina. They don't know how to speak about it, but they feel inside themselves. It's not fair. It's a taina. But you see, the reason that Rabbi Freilich was so successful is because the kids knew that he was focused on their parashas also. It wasn't just this kid could have a hair and the kid, other kid can't. He was in touch with the kid's parasha, and he knew that he cared about that kid's parasha, and the kid felt it, that he's tuned into my parasha also, and my parasha is different from his parasha. See, there's something else that I get that other guy doesn't get, and he understands. That's a mechanech. That's a parent, and it's a lot easier to do it as a mechanech than as a parent. It's much easier to be a teacher of other children than to be of your own. It's much easier to recognize the karchis in other people's children than have to see them in your own, because you're so completely overwhelmed by your own presence when it comes to your children. The olive base of chinuch is to see the child. With other children, you could see that sometimes when you're teaching other children, because they're other. They're separate. They're not your flesh and blood. They're brothers, they're sisters, they're children, they're Jews. But when it's your own child who's being brought up in your own home, it's so hard to separate that child from what you want and your dreams and your expectations. It's so hard to see the child as a separate human being that very often the parents fall into that mistake of just commanding and clapping over the head with what you want and who you are, and not trying to reach in to the deeper essence of who the child is. So, in Yitzhak Hashem, we're going to continue on this really amazing journey into the heart, into the soul of every Jew, of children and adults. And then, in this safe, we're going to talk about every midah. We're going to talk about how to change from being lazy into people who are excited about the Yiddishkeit, how to improve our davening, how to connect more to Shabbos on very real, at one time practical, but profound ways of changing lives and becoming better Jews. So this is the Chanukas Chorbes HaTalmidim, and of course all of you are invited to be part of our Chanukas Abayis that's beginning in Mitzvah Shem in a few hours.